You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, and here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
Ladies and gentlemen, our featured guest tonight, Tim Murdoch, Horace the Avenger himself, is coming up in the very next segment. He'll be with us for the remainder of the hour as we remember our mutual good friend, Bob Whitaker, a former Reagan appointee. We'll talk about Bob. We're also going to visit some current issues as well, but we've got one more segment with our good friend, one of my very best, Keith Alexander. Longtime co-host here on PPC. The show would not be the same without Keith's talent and wisdom, and we're so thankful to Keith. Each and every week he lends them to us. Keith, our another friend of ours, we got a lot of friends around here, Adrian Davis. You remember Adrian for being with us back during the March Around the World tour a couple of months ago. Adrian Davis had just learned, Sam Dixon had sent Adrian the story about what the Southern Baptist Convention had done to my church. And after reading about that incident, Adrian emailed me the story of the Vicar of Bray. And this is what it reads. The vivacious Vicar of Bray, living under King Henry VIII, King Edward VI, Queen Mary, and Queen Elizabeth, was first a papist, then a Protestant, then a papist, then a Protestant again. He had seen some martyrs burnt at Windsor and found this fire too hot for his tender temper. This vicar, being attacked by one for being a turncoat and an inconstant changeling, said, quote, "Not so, for I always kept my principle, which is this: to live and die the Vicar of Bray," end quote. I love that one. Keith, that was from that was first written in 1662. And, of course, that's a story about an individual of the clergy fundamentally changing his principles to remain in ecclesiastical office as external requirements changed around him. And, of course, the religious upheavals in England during that time made it impossible for any devout clergyman to comply with all the successive requirements of the established church. But the reason I bring this up, of course, we've lived through a lot here as hosts of TPC. We talked about the libel lawsuit and the decision there, which changed precedent. We changed precedent. For better or worse, we made history in the legal realm. Well, of course, the situation with my church was another case altogether, but still in some ways equally interesting, if not more so. But the reason I bring it up, Keith, is this. The Southern Baptist Church has come down instantly on the head of the McMichaels family, the two men who, quite obviously to us, were acting in self-defense in Georgia with the shooting of Ahmaud Arbery. We talked about that at length last week. Russell Moore of the Southern Baptist Convention called it lynch mob justice. Now, this coming from the church, the head of the church, for the Southern Baptist Convention, their media spokesman, without any trial, without any evidence, and what evidence we can see exonerates them for sure. But here's the church again. I think it all falls under the lessons learned from the Vicar of Bray story written over 400 years ago.
Well, what I would say to that is this. The only sound a liberal fears is the click of a closing purse. If you're a Southern Baptist and the Southern Baptists have decided that it's open season on any Southern white member of their congregation, that somehow they're not wanted, don't go where you're not wanted. There are other churches out there. You can find them. You can go and get, you know, the old time religion about Russell Moore or Steve Gaines's take on it. Where you need to send yourself and you need to take your money with you, because these people are going to be presiding over a deserted village in their churches now, just like the Episcopalians, just like the Presbyterians, just like the United Methodists, and all these others that decided to embrace liberalism instead of Christianity. And that's obvious.
Hold on right there, Keith. Well, I just want to read this, and I'll let you have the last word. But going back to the Vicar of Bray and how it applied to my situation, our situation with the church a couple of years ago, and now the McMichaels, the Southern Baptists passing judgment on them before a court of law, what cretins, what cowards. But of course, this was a description of a weak-minded sellout who alters his religious beliefs to conform to the political winds of the day. This was from centuries ago, so this is nothing new under the sun. But the more things change, Keith, as you say, the more they stay the same. But I would say this, because we know that all of these evangelical churches now have outreach groups for the LGBTQ community. So surely there must be an outreach group for the racists, which they say is a cardinal sin now, the sin of racism. But no, there is no outreach to white racists, whatever that may be, however they define it. And of course, our definition would differ from theirs. But I'm using this as a teachable moment. You can reach out to the homosexuals, but you can't reach out to whites. So-called racist. There's nothing that they can do to atone for what they are. The way to salvation may be narrow, but for white racists, it is gated, barred, no entrance. But, you know, I would say that's not a choice. God made us this way. We were born this way. No one would choose to have a same race attraction when choosing another race would bring social and political rewards. People, leftists, don't understand what it's like having to hide your same race attraction from the world day in and day out.
I tell you what, they are biting the hand that feeds them. If they wanted to banish all the white races, they'd be looking out at an empty church. At least the way they define racism.
Well, we talk about the long march to the institutions. We were obviously talking about the march through the courts in the last hour, but you know, forget it. The courts, the media, Hollywood, academia, the churches now. I mean, the churches, perhaps even more grotesquely than the other institutions. I mean, because you expect more from them. But the Southern Baptist Convention, Dissident Mama, by the way, go to my Twitter account, folks, at James Edwards TPC. Dissident Mama was with us for Confederate History Month, and she has written a fantastic article. Keith, if you don't mind, let me pull it up very quickly. What's it called? It is called Apparently We Will Get Fooled Again, and it's with regard to the Christian Church's condemnation of the McMichaels in Georgia.
Look, see, this is old hat to me as an Episcopalian, as a mainline Protestant, and I remember telling you and Eddie back when all this stuff was first breaking, I said, you didn't think the devil was going to forget about your church, did you? They've had the long march through the denominations. There's a great book about this called The Empty Church, by Thomas Reeves, that was written in the 90s to chronicle the decline and fall into a
fantastic book.
Mainline Protestants, and now it's getting the fundamentalists just as well. You know, they're not gonna forget about you. They're gonna bring in the sheaves of apostasy, and basically they're gonna make it so that people have to go back to the catacombs to have a church that actually follows Holy Scripture.
Keith, I love you. You're my brother. Thank you so much tonight. I know it's a little bit different, me being on vacation tonight. I'm sticking it to the nanny state, folks, and I'm on vacation with my family tonight. Keith on his cell phone. Neither of us in our home studio.
Take care of your family, but, first and foremost, James.
Well, thank you, brother. It's our baby moon, you know, with my wife expecting number three. We're taking a short trip. Our anniversary was just a few days ago. Keith, we'll get back with you next week, my friend. Tim Murdoch is up.
Why don't we say to the government writ large that they have to spend a little bit less? Anybody ever had less money this year than you had last? Anybody better have a 1% pay cut? You deal with it. That's what government needs, a 1% pay cut. If you take a 1% pay cut across the board, you have more than enough money to actually pay for the disaster relief. But nobody's going to do that because they're fiscally irresponsible. Who are they? Republicans. Who are they? Democrats. Who are they? Virtually the whole body is careless and reckless with your money. So the money will not be offset by cuts anywhere. The money will be added to the debt, and there will be a day of reckoning. What's the day of reckoning? The day of reckoning may well be the collapse of the stock market. The day of reckoning may be the collapse of the dollar. When it comes, I can't tell you exactly, but I can tell you it has happened repeatedly in history when countries ruin their currency.
Hey, listen up. This is a deep state alert. Former Texas Congressman Steve Stockman, who moved to arrest Lois Lerner for contempt of Congress, has been imprisoned by the very office that Lerner led. You heard right. Stockman hit the Obama administration hard, and they hit back with the full force of the federal government. The guy who said he wanted Mark Levin as Speaker of the House was the first to threaten Obama's impeachment, exposed Hillary selling steel to the Iranians, and blocked both Obama's immigration and gun bills from even reaching the House. But Obama holdovers came after him in federal court with trumped-up charges and have locked our guy up. Like many others, he was on Obama's hit list. Steve fought for us in Congress. Now we need to fight for him. Don't abandon this wounded hero on the battlefield. Let's help cover his massive legal costs. To chip in $5 or more, text the word FIGHT to 444-999. That's FIGHT, F-I-G-H-T, to 444-999, or go to defendapatriot.com. That's defendapatriot.com.
You know where the solution can be found, Mr. President? In churches, in wedding chapels, in maternity wards across the country and around the world. More babies will mean forward-looking adults, the sort we need to tackle long-term, large-scale problems. American babies in particular are likely going to be wealthier, better educated, and more conservation-minded than children raised in still industrializing countries. As economist Tyler Cowen recently wrote, quote, by having more children, you're making your nation more populous, thus boosting its capacity to solve climate change. The planet does not need for us to think globally and act locally so much as it needs us to think family and act personally. The solution to so many of our problems, at all times and in all places, is to fall in love, get married, and have some kids.
Searching, searching, every night and day, if we gotta keep on the run, follow the sun.
To get on the show and speak with James and the gang, call us toll free at 1-866-986-6397. And now back to tonight's show.
Well, welcome back, everybody. Our featured guest this evening is Horace the Avenger himself. We're going to follow the White Rabbit. Tim Murdoch, a White Rabbit Radio is a message-based media organization. If you've ever heard the words anti-white or white genocide, then you're probably already aware of their work. White Rabbit Radio was involved in ham radio prior to 2009. This was run by Bob Whitaker and his associates. In 2009, Tim Murdoch was asked to do an anonymous podcast to expose the anti-white narrative, as well as white genocide. In the spring of 2009, a small ham radio website named White Rabbit Radio was one of the primary places to broadcast it. WhiteRabbitRadio.net was formally set up in late 2010, early 2011. From then on, that website has served as a home for the podcast and animations, and there Tim Murdoch continues to produce videos, podcasts, and more on a weekly basis. He is a meme maker, ladies and gentlemen. Been doing this for a long, long time. His first time on this show, a long time coming. Tim, welcome.
Well, it's fantastic to be here. And I thank you for having me on, James. We had a chance to talk not long ago, which was the first time, which is kind of odd since we've run in the same circles for so long, but sometimes that's the way it goes. And,
well, it's sort of like being in an orbit, you know. We're in the same orbit, but from time to time we don't strike one another. But I can remember reading an article about you going back 7 or 8 years ago. Our good friends at the SPLC did a nice profile on you, and we're always so thankful for that. And so you have been doing this for a long time, and you've been doing it effectively and well for a long time. And I really enjoyed having the chance to speak with you on your what would you call that even? I'm such a technophobe. A vlog, I guess. We did a video interview there for WhiteRabbitRadio.net. It was fantastic. But one of the things I want to cover very quickly, Tim, is our mutual friendship and admiration for Bob Whitaker. Now, Bob Whitaker was, of course, called home a few years ago. He passed away. He was a former Reagan administration appointee, so he worked under Reagan. He worked on Capitol Hill. He was a Capitol Hill senior staffer, plugged into the conservative establishment some decades ago, and he wrote a couple of books, including The New Right Papers and A Plague on Both Your Houses, which got pretty good reviews, actually. Bob Whitaker later became known to us in the early 2000s after writing Why Johnny Can't Think, and we got to know Bob well, and he was really one of the first ones to really support and promote what we were doing here at TPC. So he goes back to before the very beginning, and I know he had a big impact on you as well. And if you don't mind, Tim, before we get to the nuts and bolts of your work and some other contemporary issues, it is important to remember our heroes, and it's important to remember those who came before us. I think that happens far. Let me put it this way. I don't think it happens nearly enough in our ranks and in our movement. It is important to remember the people who blazed a trail that the rest of us follow. Bob Whitaker was one of those guys. What can you say about Bob?
He was a legend, basically. I think that his work will be read for quite some time. And I think really we're coming into a time, I know there's a new memorial site with all his stuff, all his little vignettes. And the reason he was such a legend is he could take a very complicated ideal and strip it down to the eighth grade level. Make it. I used to tell him, you're writing in little packets of mass communication. He's like, that's exactly what I learned to do. And he would strip it down to 200 words or less after, you know, maybe take a 2,000-word subject and strip it down to 500 words. Then just keep stripping it down till it was 200 words or less. And he would do this for a variety of different subject matters. And you can still find him at Whitaker Online, WhitakerOnline.org, /blog. And he's got another new site as well. And I'll have to look it up real quick. It escapes me what the new moniker is. I think it's Whitaker. The new site is robertwhitaker.net. Sorry, Robert Whitaker. I knew it was something like that. Robert W. Whitaker.net. But again, you can find him, all his stuff at whitakeronline.org. And he would strip it down to 200 words or less. But what impressed me about Bob is his ability to get things done and never get credit for it. It's kind of like, what's a famous issue that popped in my head? Hubble Telescope. Now, probably everyone listening that's aware of politics has heard of the Hubble Telescope. That kind of rings a bell. And they had a very tough time getting that through Congress. And what Whitaker would do is he would take another angle of attack that no one had really thought of. And, you know, when it comes to science projects and space projects, well, there's a whole section that really isn't worried about that. They're worried about Gibbs. They're worried about, you know, more welfare for certain parts of the population. They're not worried about science at all, or they don't care about science. So sometimes getting projects through like that were very, very difficult. And he would take an opposing angle, some angle that no one would expect. But he would do the same thing. He would develop a boil it down to 200 words or less. From there, he would pick out a slogan, just like we did for white genocide. And the first slogan we used was anti-racism is a code word for anti-white. But he picked out a slogan on the Hubble telescope, and the approach he took didn't even have anything to do with science. It was a radical different approach. It may have had to do with defense or whatever. I forget the exact scenarios, but they hit the broken record on it. And then a few weeks later, the thing would pass. You know, he would do like this type of thing continuously. On Capitol Hill, it's a little bit easier because you have a closed audience and you could just hit the broken record on a particular set of talking points. And if you were motivated by it and really consistent, you could get things done depending on the time, depending on the place. Our particular challenge was much the same, except it's a little bit more dynamic because we're dealing with the internet. You know, so he was tasked with working out, he wanted to figure out a way to use the internet and use what we would think of as a time as white nationalists and all these different pro-white websites and right-wing websites, instead of just a place to produce ideals or a place to talk to your friends or a place to make friends. Sites like Stormfront were huge at the time. It still is quite big, but use them as a message producing medium, meaning use it to actually seed ideals in the general population, which it doesn't happen. It doesn't happen at these long idealistic dialogues that we tend to have between each other. It happens at the soundbite level. It happens at the mass communication level. And that's basically what we were doing, is walking in and doing exactly what he's always done, you know, boiling the ideals down, then testing it. And then just letting it fly and just hitting the broken record until things start going in your direction.
You know, Tim, it's I look through my phone, and a lot of people get added to my contacts list, but they never get deleted. And so a significant percentage of the contacts in my phone have already received their eternal reward, Gordon Baum, Bob Whitaker. I could go on and on and on. But it is such a shame that you get forgotten once you pass. And we never want that to happen. I don't think that's the way sturdy men should do it. And Bob Whitaker was a guy that had something to lose. I mean, this was a guy who worked for Reagan. I mean, he met Reagan. Reagan appointed him personally. This was a guy that could have had a very easy life if it weren't for those pesky principles and for a loyalty of his people. And Bob was one of the first ones to really push me and to help me get going in this movement back in the early 2000s. And I had, you know, some great in-studio interviews with Bob in Memphis. He drove to Memphis actually to be interviewed in the radio station as opposed to just calling in, him and a couple of his acquaintances, and spent some time with him in South Carolina. Was a great guy, a funny guy, but as you said, I mean, he boiled things down to an eighth grade level because that's really where we are now. People never mature beyond childhood anymore, except for, of course, your audience and mine, that is. But
well, here's the thing. Here's the thing I learned from Bob. That's you know, we have a saying, the masses are asses, and the saying is actually true. We all are affected by mass communication strategies, and all those strategies have to be at the eighth grade level to be effective. That's why all these little slogans and stuff that just haunt you, you know, like you'll hear a song and then a few years later it'll stick in your head or something. That's why this stuff works. The sound is pretty dynamic, you know.
Hold on right there, my friend. Hold on. The music is playing. This is commercial radio. We do have to take a timeout, but we will be back with the great Tim Murdoch. I appreciate a guy who has been around and has paid the price. Tim is one of those guys. Stay tuned. You don't want to miss it.
Proclaiming liberty across the land. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. USA Radio News with Wendy King.
It's another weekend of protests by people demanding that everything be reopened, despite people still getting infected with COVID-19. Roberta Baker joined demonstrators in Lisbon, Ohio.
Ohio does not have a dictatorship. And we need to get across to people that we still are not allowed to gather in groups of more than 10. We still are not allowed to gather with our families and our friends.
New York Governor Andrew Cuomo says some things are getting back to normal in his state, but it has to be done with great care.
Reopening, right? You're on the other side of the tunnel. And how do you reopen? And reopening smartly, intelligently, with individual responsibility. So understanding you're going to see an increase in the numbers, but you don't want to see a spike.
This is USA Radio News.
Balance of Nature's fruit and veggie capsules contain 100% fine ripened fruits and vegetables, tested pure with no pesticides, fillers, or additives of any kind, and are the most effective whole food supplements on the market today. Fruits and vegetables are on an average 85% water. Balance of Nature uses cold vacuum technology to remove the water, leaving only the whole food. Our cold vacuum technology maintains 99% of the fresh fruits and vegetables' original nutritional value. Don't wait to see what getting over 10 servings of whole fruits and vegetables every day can do for you. Right now, Balance of Nature is offering free shipping and 35% off on any new preferred order. Start your journey to better health today by calling 1-800-246-8751. Or by going to balanceofnature.com. Again, that's balanceofnature.com. And make sure to receive this special radio offer by using discount code USA.
The Navajo Nation is getting more aggressive in fighting COVID-19, and USA Radio's John Hunt has the story.
Residents of the Navajo Nation will be under the strictest weekend lockdown in the United States. Grocery stores, gas stations, and other businesses will be closed, and essential workers are being told to stay at home until Monday around dawn. The Navajo Nation president made the announcement after a spike in deaths. The tribe now reports 127 deaths and 3,600 positive cases since it first began tracking. The Navajo Nation has been hit harder by the coronavirus than any other Native American reservation.
The Department of Education and Education Secretary Betsy DeVos face a class action lawsuit demanding a stop to garnishment of student borrowers' wages. The suit was filed in District of Columbia Federal Court on behalf of borrowers whose paychecks continued to be garnished for student loans, which is a violation of the CARES Act. You're listening to USA Radio News.
It's time to jump back into the political cesspool. To be part of the show and have your voice heard around the world, call us at 1-866-986-6397.
Well, we're back with Tim Murdoch, ladies and gentlemen. I have the esteemed honor to appear with Tim on his program a few weeks ago, and we had a great session, and we know the same people. And like I said, I didn't appear from a big bang, and neither did Tim, in terms of our participation in this movement. We all learned from someone else. We all had external influences that helped guide us along. And I don't want to spend much more time on this, although it is very important. It is important to remember those who came before us. Bob Whitaker had a significant impact on my activism, as well as Tim Murdoch's. And so that is the reason we are bringing attention to him to the forefront this hour. Tim, I want to get to your work, but 60 seconds or less, a parting shot on the legacy and the importance of remembering a guy like Bob.
Well, Bob Whitaker, two things that come to mind that the audience would know about but have never really heard about in relation to Whitaker. Whitaker served I forget his exact title, but he served as Congress John Ashbrook's right-hand man, who died in 82. And Ashbrook is very famous because he stopped the establishment of Martin Luther King Jr.'s national holiday 14 years prior. Consistently, they would filibuster the whole entire thing. So that's something Bob's famous for as well, which I rather enjoy. That's my favorite thing about Bob, probably. Thank God for Ashbrook. And he would put, he put words like anti-white, which Bob always used, into his speeches and stuff like that. And other Ashbrook colleagues got upset over that, but Bob would keep putting it in there. But Ashbrook is very famous for that. In fact, shortly after he died is when the Martin Luther King holiday was passed, finally. It wouldn't have passed if that guy wouldn't have died. So Bob has written some conspiracies, which is very rare for Bob, about Ashbrook's death. But another thing Bob is famous for is Reagan Democrats. He was a master strategist, which most people don't know. And he worked with William Rusher, who was the publisher of National Review, in turning what was called the Wallace Democrats into the Reagan Democrats, which are famous to this day in Republican circles. And a lot of people forgot about Bob's work there. So he's kind of famous for a handful of different things known behind the scenes. And he was a can-do type of guy. He was a populist in so much as our message has to be poised so that the average guy or gal can understand us. And then we got to stay on it nonstop.
Well, he was fantastic, and he killed them with humor, and that was one of the things that he thought was the most effective weapon. So many people have to take the tenets of the left, the tenets of that the media espouse as God's holy writ, but no, if you laugh at them, you disarm them, and that was one of Bob's greatest weapons. And he was a funny guy in his heart. I can remember. I'll share a quick story, and we'll get off of it, but And it really is a pleasure to be able to talk about a guy like Bob with you, Tim, because, you know, that's a name that doesn't get batted around much anymore some years after his passing. But Bob and I were in Charleston, South Carolina one night. We're at a bar, Henry's Tavern. On Rainbow Road down there in downtown Charleston, if anybody's familiar with it. And he gave me one of his books while we were at the bar. And, you know, we were a couple of drinks in to the night. And I said, well, Bob, if you're going to give me your book, you're going to have to inscribe it. You're going to have to sign it to me. And so he did. And he wrote to James, a lowlife son of a bitch and a friend of mine, Bob Whitaker. And that was his humor. He was a great guy. He was a funny guy. And that humor is a disarming weapon. They want you to take them seriously. It serves you to not. And he was one who taught me that.
Absolutely. I mean, nothing's better than humor. You can actually hear Bob's voice and How Whites Took Over America, Part 1. It's still up on YouTube. YouTube took down the the masterpiece Anti-Racist Hitler just last year. It was banned in like 88 countries. They finally took it down. That's playing all over the place, but on our official channel, they took it down. That's one of the things I'm probably most famous for, animations, really.
Oh, sure.
How Whites Took Over America Part 1, Bob is the Indian chief, and it is hilarious, the voice he does.
He was a funny guy, and he knew it, but he was a good-hearted guy. And a salute to Bob Whitaker and for the impact he had on so many of us still out there. I hope that we are remembered fondly after our time has come and gone. In any event, let's move forward. So we move forward, and again, Bob's fingerprints are on the formation of this program, obviously on your work as well. Tim, let's talk about your work now. We have 2 or 3 minutes before our next break, and then we'll get into some contemporary issues. But let's talk about the work you're doing over there at White Rabbit Radio.
Yeah, we've kept all the same names, which kind of became a joke at first. Like my email, it's been found in famous email bins, Horace the White Rabbit at Gmail. All the stuff we did at first, which was kind of tongue-in-cheek because we're dealing with such a Bob's Whitaker's. His messages could be extremely aggressive. Now they don't seem so aggressive because it's kind of mainstream nearly. Basically, it is mainstream, but at the time, meaning that it's all over publications on any given day, but at the time it was very aggressive. So we kind of take a tongue-in-cheek type of approach. I kept taking the same approach that he wanted. And these days, I produce a lot of content, three days a week for a particular paywall, which we've done since 2012 to support everything, because that's the challenge with sites like Political Cesspool. Once they go out there and once they're successful, then you have another issue. You got to support them. And our enemy just never lets up, as we all know. So we've been doing that, and that's went very well. I also live stream twice a week to D Live, and these days D Live only we're at White Rabbit Radio there, and typically YouTube. We are on YouTube as well, but I don't. I stopped live streaming there as of tonight. Tonight we're on D Live only, like Red Ice and some others. And
oh, wow.
You can see us there Tuesday as well as Saturday. Yeah, we're interested in new venues and growing. We're also on BitChute. And yeah, you can find out a lot about us at WhiteRabbitRadio.net, basically. We're always under the same moniker.
From a personal perspective, I guess you would say, I'm really happy to have you on tonight because, again, it goes back to the connection with Bob. The fact that you have been around for many, many years now. I mean, even though by some cosmic circumstance it's your first time to come on this show, we have been in the same orbit for years. You've been doing great work for years. You've known some of the same people, obviously, and you've been very effective. Also, We shared some of the same friends behind the scene with regards to people who have helped us with some tech work and things like that. And it's just really good to be able to present you to this audience.
Well, it's fantastic to be here.
Well, when we come back, we have one segment remaining, and we will get to Trump's reelection prospects and the shooting in Georgia of Ahmaud Arbery. Now, that has been a big one. I think that is the new Trayvon Martin. That is the new Michael Brown. That is the new Freddie Gray. We will get to that with Tim in the next segment. But, Tim, one more time before the music begins, give us your contact information, your website, where people can follow your work if, God forbid, they haven't heard from you before or heard of you before. How can they do it?
We are WhiteRabbitRadio.net. That is the website. On DLive, we are White Rabbit Radio. On YouTube, we're White Rabbit Radio TV. On Twitter, I still keep the infamous Eurorabbit at Eurorabbit. You can find us at all those different places and get plugged in.
Well, I appreciate you sticking to tradition. If I've caught all kinds of hell for naming the show The Political Cesspool, but I didn't want to be a narcissist in the beginning and name it the James Edwards Show. So I thought The Political Cesspool would do just fine. It was sort of tongue in cheek, but why didn't you do something more, glorious. Well, you know, you stick with the one who took you to the dance, right, Tim? I mean, you know, we've made a name for ourselves under our names, and those names will stick with us, and I'm happy to be attached to it.
Yeah, this was given to me, and I just ran with it. I did what I was asked to do. I didn't expect the first podcast to blow up, the underground podcast that came out. It just got way too big, way too fast. I was expecting to only do six for Bob on his site, and then just let him, you know, just go back to helping him post and report and do the various different things we were doing message-wise. It's kind of like a hobby. I was not expecting it to be that successful. And then Bob said, oh, you got to do this. You're not leaving now. You know, a way of talking people into things. At first it was, don't worry about it. You'll be anonymous. No one will know who you are. And then he's like, oh, wait a minute. This is too successful. You're staying here now. So it's a question of loyalty. Bob, you know, the name comes from that, and it'll be what it is.
Well, you know, I'll tell you this. For all the accolades we could give Bob, my wife has met just about everyone I have ever met in this movement, and Bob is among her top five favorites. And she knew Bob back in the day, and she's actually standing next to me right now. She's expecting our third child. What would you say about Bob Whitaker?
Oh, he was one of my favorite entertaining people that I've ever been around.
We'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen.
Have we realized the assault against our lives, our liberties, our faith? To defeat this assault, Christians and all people of goodwill should have strategies to prevail in our faith and principles, which are simple. No need for a complex formula. One goal, one aim. A strategy like the heroic Christians of the past. We win, they lose. Nothing less. Big Q, Little Q. The Calm Before the Storm, by a friend of Medjugorje. The strategy of heaven revealed. Big Q, Little Q. The Calm Before the Storm. Available on Amazon.com or by calling Caritas in the U.S. at 205-672-2000.
The spirit of the American West is alive and well in Range Magazine, the award-winning quarterly devoted to the issues that affect the American West, its people, lifestyles, lands, and wildlife. The Loving Liberty Radio Network is proud to support the publisher's efforts to provide an active forum for solutions that preserve the vanishing American cowboy, farmer, and sheep herder. Each issue contains informative articles on life in the American West, along with breathtaking imagery, as well as the culture of the cowboy spirit in our day. Each issue of Range Magazine also features great gift ideas, like the 2020 Real Buckaroo Calendar and the book Tales from Out There. Order online from rangemagazine.com. Just click on the shopping cart. The Loving Liberty Radio Network salutes the spirit of the American West and those who are keeping it alive at Range Magazine. Foundation for Moral Law is a nonprofit legal foundation committed to protecting our unalienable right to publicly acknowledge God. The Foundation for Moral Law exists to restore the knowledge of God in law and government and to acknowledge and defend the truth that man is endowed with rights not by our fellow man, but by God. The foundation maintains a twofold focus. First, litigation within state and federal courts. Second, education. Conducting seminars to teach the necessity and importance of acknowledging God in law and government. How can you help? Please make a tax-deductible contribution, allowing foundation attorneys to continue the fight. You may also purchase various foundation products as well at morallaw.org. Located in Montgomery, Alabama, the Foundation for Moral Law is a nonprofit, tax-exempt 501c3, founded by Judge Roy Moore. Please partner with us to achieve this important mission. morallaw.org.
On the show, call us on James's dime at 1-866-986-6397.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, we're back with Tim Murdoch, Horace the Avenger himself, the White Rabbit, whiteRabbitRadio.net. He should have been on about 10 years ago, but, you know, every now and then you're late to the party. But Tim has done great work for a long, long time. We have known some of the same people for a long, long time, and it is great to have him on tonight. Better late than never, and this is the first of what I hope will be many appearances to come. So let's get well, we talked about our mutual acquaintance with Bob Whitaker. We talked about his work at White Rabbit Radio, and now let's talk about some current events and some current issues. Tim, the shooting in Georgia, have you been following it, and what are your thoughts?
Well, you know, I put out news and views, which I mean, I cover a lot of global stuff that at one time wasn't being anywhere near covered as much as it is today. But I do that three times a week. One of the things I hate is one of these events come out and I've got to cover it in the first 24 hours, because by the 72 hour point, we're starting to get the truth. You know, the only thing anyone really saw in the video was you got two fellas fighting with another fellow. One of the fellows was fighting with another fellow. One of the fellows had a shotgun, and the black fellow, of course, ended up dead. It was very difficult to tell from the video clips, but everyone was jumping up and down. You know, they're hunting this guy down and everything else. And obviously it was typical anti-white fake news, and these guys got railroaded, you know, without no presumed innocence, none of the and at the same time, you know, what is so interesting to me about this compared to, let's say, 10 years ago, and I'm sure you get some joy out of this as well, how many people online since that point, how many, and these are very large accounts, very large, even establishment publications are talking about all the different, it's not just Ameren anymore, but they're talking about all the different white joggers that were killed during the same amount of time that no one even knows about. You know,
including, by the way, some very left winger mainstream media personalities who were killed by the same people that they love to advocate for.
Yeah, it's absolutely fantastic how many people are covering a message that at one time, if it wasn't us, if it wasn't a publication we knew of, it wasn't being covered. Now, of course, everyone's forced to cover this stuff. And, you know, I know the latest information apparently is that they had called the police that the young man in question, the young African-American in question, was in that particular house that was being built. And they had called the police and they had went directly there to make a citizen's arrest. That there's a lot of stuff in this that we're just now finding out. You know, in other words, they were basically deputized to make that arrest. And this is going to be pretty interesting how it plays out. I don't know what's going to happen, because there's always, you know, the CNNs of the world, including many of the worthless, they're called conservatives. Bob called them so-called conservatives, and we typically call them cuckservatives. But these these elements that are going out of their way run interference for all things anti-white. Have just railroaded these fellows without even hearing the story, without even, you know, presumed innocence, you know, forget about everything. Forget about the Constitution.
And Tim, not to interrupt you, that is, let me tell you how many people that is. That is the political apparatus of Georgia, including the so-called conservative Republican Kemp. I talked with Sam Dixon about this just a couple of nights ago. And he gave me a very learned lesson in how much of a conservative Kemp is, and how ignorant and really unintelligent Kemp is. But it is the entire leadership of the Republican Party in Georgia. The governor and the Republican senators in Georgia are all in the tank for the condemnation of these people who appeared to be defending themselves, from what I could see. I mean, they didn't shoot this guy as he was running away from them. He was shot as he was running toward them and pulling on the shotgun barrel with one hand and punching the other guy in the head with the other hand, We talked about this at length for an hour last week, but it is the Republican Party of Georgia. It is the Southern Baptist Church. It is the establishment media. All of them have, facts be damned, and forget the fact that this was looked into 2.5 months ago before the establishment media caught wind of it. It was looked into by the local law enforcement officials, and they ruled it to be self-defense. But, you know, forget that now. We have another Trayvon Martin case on our hands, and the media made it so.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. The Trayvon Martin incident ended up being interesting because the fellow that shot him was part Hispanic. These white guys, they don't have any reprieve, and they've just been railroaded. I mean, they've tainted every jury pool in the area. That's what's sad about it. Can they even get a fair trial? Maybe, maybe not. I don't really know. And you know, you got Georgia Bureau of Investigation coming into it. Everyone's coming into it. The president even, what has the president actually said about it?
He hasn't said much. He just said it was disturbing. I mean, he basically played both sides against the middle. He said it was disturbing. I mean, that can be... I mean, we can all say it was disturbing. It was disturbing that a black would run towards a guy with a gun and start pounding him in the head from the other side. Yeah. It's disturbing that they shot him because, you know, he was a jogger, don't you know? Even though, really, Tim, this whole thing has unraveled over the narrative has unraveled over the course of the last week, and that more footage has come to light. I mean, he was supposed to be this avid jogger, this scholarly young man.
In cargo shorts
and in boots. That's what he was jogging in.
And he's miles from home. Miles from home. I mean, I don't know. Most people I know don't go jogging in pants falling down and boots. But, hey, you know. We're supposed to buy all this stuff, but, you know what? And that's fine for them to push that narrative. That's what they do. But we have so many traitors at the top that are willing to jump at anything anti-white as well and run interference for the other side. It's just really sad. Why you got two men who
they all think they're good. They're all, you know, and Bob talked about this going back to Bob. They all think they're going to reprieve. They all think they'll be the ones patted on the head, by their societal overlords, and that they will be the good whites, and that, you know, that's all they want is the acceptance of the people who are out to destroy them and everything they ever believed in.
Yeah, absolutely. It's total BS and sad at the same time. What has been pleasing for me is how many online have just been hammered. I mean, not just your foot soldiers online, but the name brands that are just pillaring this case, asking questions over and over again. One of the biggest journalists I can't think of his name. But I've been following tweet after tweets from some independent journalists just with, 50,000 followers on Twitter. And they're just basically just asking serious questions over and over again, hopefully those guys get a fair trial and hopefully all the facts come out.
Well, it's hard to say. I was surprised, even though it was justified according to the facts, that Darren Wilson, I mean, you know, the case in Ferguson was even more egregious than the Zimmerman case. And Zimmerman, you know, whether he's Hispanic or white or whatever he is, you know, he should have been exonerated. He should have been found not guilty, as he was. But the case in Ferguson was even more clear cut. I mean, you're talking about a guy with a career criminal pounding a police officer while reaching for his gun. And then and only then was he shot. And it was made to be some, you know, white vigilante racist, you know, shooting, some poor innocent, black all-star. Well, you know, if you can make that out of that particular incident, you could certainly make it out of the case here in Georgia. But I think, as Jared Taylor wrote, and I think Jared has written the best article I've yet seen on the internet about this case at Amarin.com. You mentioned it a moment ago. But it's amazing how people can watch the same video and come to such wildly different conclusions. I mean, to me, it was, as the first, not one, but two prosecutors saw it, a self-defense shooting. within the bounds of Georgia law. But only after the media, 2.5 months later, came to the question, did these two men, a father and son, become arrested? And now we'll see what happens. I was pleasantly surprised that Zimmerman and Wilson were exonerated. I hope that that will be the case with the McMichaels, but it all depends on the venue and the jury. If they get an all-black jury, you know, they're dead. And that's all there is to it. Well, Tim, I wanted to tie that in with Trump's reelection prospects, because Georgia has now become a purple state with Stacey Abrams, who is now, my God, help us, if she becomes Joe Biden's running mate. If Joe ever comes out of the basement, which is another question, but we'll see. I was going to tie all that in to Trump's reelection prospects, but we're out of time. We will do this again soon. Give us that contact information one more time, Tim.
You can find me at whiterabbitradio.net, as well as White Rabbit Radio on DLive, on YouTube, on Twitter. Find us all over. And it was fantastic being on with you. Thanks a lot, James, for having me on.
Tim, it was fantastic to have you. Fantastic to have you, my friend, and it is the first of many times to come. I guarantee you that. Tim Murdoch, the White Rabbit, Horace the Avenger, Tim Murdoch. Thank you, Tim.
Pool is in the can, but don't go away. There's more to come right here on the Liberty News Radio Network.